My very first memory of knowing that the new year had arrived, I guess, goes back to when I was 7. We had our first TV, and on its 6-inch black and white screen, I saw the ball fall from far away Times Square. That's the first memory of a new year, too, of my next guest, and it was her father's first memory, and it was her grandfather's first memory, because he built the first ball that ever fell in Times Square right way back in 1908. His granddaughter, who's going to be the timekeeper tonight, she's going to be the one who's going to give the high sign for that ball to fall again, is waiting to talk to us on the phone from Art Craft Strauss, her family firm in New York. Tama Starr is her name. Ms. Starr, almost Happy New Year.
Almost Happy New Year. Well, we can still say Happy Old Year for a few more hours.
Happy Old Year to you. I want to know a little bit about your granddad. I want to know about that first year in 1908. I want to know who got the idea of dropping a ball in the first place and why it is the rest of the world watches that ball every year.
Okay, well, of course, this is one of our favorite subjects because this job isn't our biggest job, but it is certainly our most fun job that we do every year. Art Craft Strauss is going to be doing this again for the 79th time this year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Why don't you tell us, first of all, why a ball? Where does the ball falling come from?
Well, in the 19th century, there used to be time balls that were silver or gold, and they were lowered down poles in prominent locations in seaports around the world, and this would enable the ship's navigators to set their chronometers. And this would happen exactly at noon. So the ball that we lower in Times Square on New Year's Eve is the only one that's lowered at midnight.
Ah, so this was back in the days before we all had digital watches. Accurate to 1/2 second a year or whatever. These sea captains would watch the ball fall, and they'd know the sun was at the top of the sky.
That's right, and then they would set the chronometer, which was a device that would enable them to find their longitude when they were out at sea.
Uh-huh.
Now, actually, the celebration in Times Square goes back to 1905, and that was the first year when Times Square was named Times Square.
Because the New York Times building was built in the middle of it.
That's right. The New York Times building was inaugurated mm-hmm. on New Year's Eve of 1905. And there was a huge party with a crowd of 200,000 or 300,000 people, just like we see today, except they were much rowdier in those days, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this huge fireworks celebration that lit up the sky for miles. And this celebration was so popular, it became an instant tradition. And so it was repeated again in 1906, and then in 1907 it was repeated again. And then fireworks became illegal in the city limits and in crowded areas, so some bright new focus for the celebration had to be found. And my grandfather at that time was a very young man. He was a recent immigrant to this country, and he was an inventor, an electrician and metal worker. In fact, before he came to America, he built the first illuminated sign in Russia.
Hmm.
So he was a very young guy, and he was doing outdoor displays here in New York, which was then a brand new technology. And he was hired to do something, to find something, and probably looking around and seeing these noontime time balls, he said, how about doing one at midnight? So he built the first one, which was wrought iron, and it had 350 light bulbs on it, and it was lowered down a wooden flagpole on a pair of pulleys, using the same state-of-the-art technology that we still use today, and that was the very first one. The ball that we use today is probably the fourth or fifth one that has been built so far, and it's made out of aluminum and has 180 light bulbs on it.
But the pulleys and the ropes and the high-tech technology that worked in 1908 is still the one you use today?
Yes, we still believe that if something works, you shouldn't fix it.
If it's not broken, don't fix it.
That's it. Well, you know, people are always surprised to find out that we're still doing it by this old-fashioned method. But we think that people are much more reliable than gadgets and machines because the people don't conk out right in the middle of your ceremony the way a machine that you use once a year is likely to.
I think you're right. I think most people think that probably that ball is attached to some satellite dish that's, you know, getting the signal from space that says it's midnight all over the galaxy or whatever.
I know. Everyone is surprised to see that there's actually human beings up there doing it.
So there's just some guy with a rope slipping through his fingers.
Well, there's six men,
mm-hmm.
And they're controlling cables that are on two pulleys, and we use steel cables that are covered with cotton so the men can get a good grip on it.
And when does it go up? When does it go up the top of the pole?
It goes up to the top of the pole at 6 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. and it's lit, and it stays up at the top of the pole all evening until exactly 11:59.
And who knows that it's exactly 11:59? Who do they get their cue from?
Okay, they get the cue from me. I'm the timekeeper, and I've got all kinds of watches up and down my arm. I feel like a fence today. But, of course, our best watch and our traditional good luck watch is our old Mickey Mouse watch, who's been keeping the time on that job for 41 years.
Are you telling me that the world ushers in New Year's when Mickey's hands point up straight in the air? That's it. That's where it all starts, huh?
That's it. Mickey always tells the truth.
And you just set Mickey's hands when you leave the house in the morning and look at your clock on the wall.
Well, not quite. Actually, we call Washington to the Naval Observatory. Then we check by shortwave radio to WWV, which is the radio station of the National Bureau of Standards.
Aww.
So we get them all exactly right. We take an inordinate pride in being fanatically accurate on this thing.
Uh-huh. So while you're watching Mickey's hands do their jobs, you're saying, okay, let's go a little faster, a little slower, or whatever, and when it gets to the bottom, everybody carries on.
That's it. We have markers on the pole, and as the ball passes the different markers, I can tell the men to speed it up or slow it down so that it arrives at the bottom exactly on time.
And how many people are watching it around the world and in Times Square itself?
Well, in Times Square, gee, last year we had almost 500,000 people.
Huh.
And the number of people who see it on television, it was really since television that it's become a worldwide event. It's impossible to estimate. It's way over 100,000,000 people.
And what I've never understood is, this is fine for New York City, but, like, what do folks do out in San Francisco? They watch the ball fall, too?
Believe it or not, they replay it out west and all across the country as it becomes midnight. This has been a national event ever since the advent of radio in the 1930s.
So even though by the time San Francisco is saying Happy New Year, all those folks are in bed, hopefully with one another, probably stoned out of their gills. But all those people in Times Square have probably gone home by now, and the people in San Francisco are still watching the ball fall.
That's right. They still are. In fact, it's a very funny thing. You know, all evening we're in the building. We have to be locked in the building at 6 o'clock because you can't move around in Times Square once the crowd starts to gather. And all evening we're watching the crowd build up, and we're saying to each other, what does Mickey say? You know, we have to announce the time every 5 minutes. And we watch this crowd building up, and it's just huge. It's like a huge animal. It's like all one organism.
Is it fun, by the way, or is it really scary? I was in New York at New Year's Eve time, and we thought about walking over to Times Square and wondered if we'd make it out with our lives, you know?
It's not really scary because it's a happy crowd. Even the police, there are hundreds of police all over the place.
How many hundreds of thousands of pickpockets are there?
Lots of pickpockets. It's true that it's not appropriate to carry large sums of money and jewels in your coat pockets when you're there, uh-huh. but nobody would do that anyway.
I see. There's
a hazard of broken glass because people are throwing bottles and so forth, but it's a pretty happy crowd. It's a happy event. Mm. It's a funny thing, but you know, it's so corny, this thing in Times Square, but it's a chance for New Yorkers who pride themselves on being very cynical and sophisticated to actually be happy and express hopes and dreams and that kind of thing. And this corniness really appeals to them.
I guess this has been going on even forever, even before there was a North America. I think that's what Stonehenge was designed for, wasn't it? Was to tell the Druids or whoever built it, that New Year's had arrived or the harvest had arrived or whatever?
I think so. Some scholars have been telling me that this kind of event where the celebration of the turning of the year is celebrated by a crowd that goes into an ecstatic state, which is, of course, part of the drunkenness and so on, and then seeing a celestial object, in our case an electric ball because we're in the middle of New York, but they used to look at the sun or a certain star come over a tower, and there was sort of between the years or outside of normal time and outside of normal activities. And so I think that this is actually a pagan ritual.
Except a Mickey Mouse watch did not tell the sun when to set.
Well, Mickey is kind of a pagan figure, isn't he?
That's right, he is. And I'm sure the Druids wore funny hats and noisemakers, too.
I'm sure they did.
Was there ever a year when the thing got hung up on the pole and didn't fall and everybody waited a little while for New Year's to arrive?
I'm told that there have been occasions when peculiar weather conditions have caused the ball to behave peculiarly. You know, it's a very tall building, and we have wind tunnels coming down the side streets. And if the wind is very strong, it can cause an updraft, forcing the ball up the pole. And so on those occasions, we have tag lines, and one of the guys has to jump up and grab the tag line and help pull the ball down.
Otherwise, we'd go back to 1944 by the time the ball got back to the top.
We would. Time would definitely go backwards and upward.
I think a lot of us listening to you right now are going to be thinking of you tonight, Tammas Starr. We're going to be thinking of you and the four fellas muscling that rope over the pulleys, and we're going to be thinking of your granddad who built that first pulley, which is still going to be doing its job. Oh, I guess just what? Now about a little under 12 hours from now. Have a happy new year.
Thanks so much, and we'll be thinking of you too. And a very happy new year to you and all your listeners.
Thank you. You go oil up Mickey's elbows.
Okay, here we go.
Good talking to you. That's great. Thanks very much.
Oh, thanks a lot. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we'll have a ball with it, and I'm so glad I reached you this morning. We left the one thing out.
What?
Well, you say it'll go on even if they tear down the building, huh?
It'll go on even if they tear down the building.
Because this was supposed to have been the last. All right, let me just roll tape here and see if I want to insert this somewhere. I heard last year, Ms. Starr, that there was to be no more ball falling in Times Square, and that, in fact, the building the pole stands on and everything around it was going to be torn down.
Well, there's a new plan to redevelop Times Square and replace all the bright lights and all the theater businesses and all the restaurants and all that with giant office towers. Now, in that case, and this plan has been approved, the building where that ball has come down for 79 years would simply vanish. It would be demolished.
Mm.
But last year, when there was some talk that this would be the last year for the ball, everybody made such a fuss that the building has attained a reprieve. So we are presently in a state of reprieve on that building.
Hmm.
But I do think that even if that building came down, we would find somewhere to do it. Maybe we'll come up to Toronto. How about that?
Hey, I'd like that a lot. The world will watch us as New Year's Eve happens here. Thanks again.
Okay.
Good talking to you.
Thank you. A pleasure, Andy.
Have a good time. I'll send you the cassette.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.